Good start, right when you are.
Hey, good morning. It's good to see you.
Morning, sir.
Deuce, how are you?
Outstanding, you?
Good. So, I got to ask you, though, for the rest of the audience, we're here with General Deuce Wagner, just promoted just last or brought back in the fall as the new Assistant Adjutant General, Commander of the Indiana Air National Guard. So good to have you here.
Yeah, proud to do
on Coffee Talk. Why Deuce? Where did that come from?
Well, I wish I had a cool story, but I don't. I'll say I'm so good they wanted me to do it twice. We can go with that. There's a lot of like ways you could butter up the story and make it better. But I had an opportunity to perform twice as an aviator. You probably know what that means.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So for the insiders, call signs usually aren't for anything good.
Yeah.
And the cooler they sound, the worse your story is.
Tend to agree with
that. Yeah. But it's funny. I was a full-timer for a long time. Now I'm working in industry and I do this as a part-time job. And people started calling me Josh again. And the first time I heard it, I was just minding my own business. And they repeated it a couple of times. Like, oh, you're talking to me. So all I'd ever heard was Deuce for the last 25 years.
So welcome back. And you said you're now a DSG. So
yes,
that's
sir.
The first time you've got over 20 years ADR.
Big difference.
So now you're doing this as a part-timer. What's it like?
You know, I hadn't been a part-timer since I was enlisted. Really, I was a technician for a while, so pseudo part-timer, but really I've been full-time since 2000. And the biggest difference is just balancing it all. I kind of took for granted that having one job, you can devote all that time that you need, still make yourself available, your family, still do the things you need to do at home. But now there's a whole nother ingredient in the mix. So for me, it's just been figuring out how to make the most of the time that I have available to try to keep the folks at home happy, be successful in my military job and still fulfill the needs of my civilian job. And there's still only, 24 hours in a day. So
it's
balancing it all. And honestly, I've had good folks help me out along the way. Chief Mass Sergeant Mike Dixon, who's stepping down this month, will be replaced by John Coughlin. Two guys I've known a long time have given me some of the pointers. I had a good team upstairs. General Stoller kind of paved the way. He did this as a DSG for several years before I showed up. So furiously taking notes, kind of learning their TTPs and getting better at it. But you just have to put in the time. And I think we're going to get to that conversation.
Yeah, it takes both the full-time staff and support of the traditional or the DSG. You know, we're nothing without our DSG,
absolutely.
But we have to have the full-time staff, and they ensure that we have the continuity and do this job every single day. So it's difficult, and there's a lot on everybody's plate right now. I think, I always want to take an opportunity to remind everyone about what our priorities are. Last year, we pushed out the Hoosier campaign plan with four lines of effort. The primary line of effort is warfighting readiness, full stop. That's what all of our units down and in need to be focused on, warfighting readiness. It's their number one priority and nothing else. After that, though, really more of headquarters and supporting efforts, we have force structure optimization and modernization.
Yep.
We're going through facilities modernization and updating armories. And then we have our strategic communications efforts.
Yep.
And those are really the four things within the Hoosier campaign plan. But all of that, at the beginning of that campaign plan, if you've read it, I talk about the strategic environment that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all you have to do right now is look at what's going on in Iran, and you can see how true that is all becoming and shaping up.
Yeah.
Really important to highlight that right now the Indiana National Guard has about 100 soldiers and airmen that are in the CENTCOM region right now doing the work, supporting Operation Epic Fury. We have some of our Special Forces soldiers from Alpha 220. We have some Air Guard individuals there as well working, and I've heard some of the stories of what they've been going through.
Absolutely.
And it highlights the need to be ready and highlights warfighting readiness. So we've talked in some of our prior podcasts and communications with Sergeant Major, we've talked a lot about warfighting readiness, and I think the view was on the Army.
Yeah.
And I want to take some time and hear from the Air Guard's perspective, what does warfighting readiness mean to you and your team?
Sure. So, I mean, if you want to boil it down, it's fly, fight, win. That's what we do in the Air Force. That's what we do in the Air Guard. Flying is the expectation. Fighting is how we're going to fly. And winning is, without question, the priority. Pass, it, for me personally, it was always like higher levels. Is your squadron ready? Is the wing ready? Are you doing the exercises? Are you being inspected? Are you being successful in those things? And we're going to continue to do that. There will be growth and development at the unit level to be successful at our job. But as I get a little older, I realize that we can't be successful as a wing or an organization within the state if each individual isn't ready. So warfighting readiness, that's what you said. Like, you have to be number one at your job, or strive to be number one at your job, whether you're full-time or part-time. As a full-timer, I took a lot of pride in preparing our force to be ready to train those part-timers. That's the only reason we were there as AGRs and technicians. It was to be able to train up the DSGs to get them out the door on time and ready to fight. But now, like, those individuals need to take a lot more responsibility at home. So make sure you're physically fit. There's significant changes in the fitness program within the Air Force, and you have to take the time to do that. Make sure you're at the mental part of the job. Do you know what it is? And if you don't, are you willing to ask the questions to get better? And then you know, not only can we deploy overseas, but we can be called, you know, within 24 hours or less to do things at home. So either way, you're going to get pulled away from the folks that you leave behind, and you need to make sure that they're fiscally ready. Can they survive with you being out of town? Do they have a plan? Do they have food on hand? Can they respond? Do they have a network of folks that can take care of them mentally, emotionally, spiritually, to get them through whatever they're dealing with at home, so you don't have to worry about it while you're away, because you're going to have a priority to, you know, fly, fight, and win. And that's what we're going to do. So for me personally, it's just shifted from, like, is the organization ready, to is each individual airman? We have 2,000 in the Indiana Air National Guard. You know, we got 12,000 total service members in Indiana. Are every one of those folks as ready as they can be to fly, fight, and win tomorrow?
Yeah, if you're not ready yourself,
yep.
Any level of readiness collectively for the organization is hollow.
Absolutely.
You have to be an expert, and your family has to be ready for you to be able to go away and do that job. On the Army side of the house, we talked about transformation in the 76th IBCT transitioning to the MBCT. Right. Big part of what's going on and what we're seeing. But you are the executive lead for this transformation of the force structure across the Indiana National Guard, so Army and Air. But what do we see coming down the road, or what's happening now on the Air Guard side?
So yeah, big things. 122nd in Fort Wayne started a conversion from the A-10 to the F-16 in April 2023, and they're rounding that out in April 2026. They're going to be on mission flying F-16s in support of Homeland Defense on day one, and they're excited for it. Do they have all the equipment they need? No. Are the jets the way they want them to be? No. Do they know exactly what that mission's going to look like? No. Have they done it before? Probably not. But it doesn't matter. They're as ready as they can be, and they're going to hit the ground running when it happens. So we're excited for that. It's been a long time coming, and they're going to continue to progress and get better. But it's trial by fire, and it's going to happen in a couple of short weeks. At the 181st, those guys are in the middle of it. So they are supporting the warfighter 24/7, 365 around the globe. They have folks doing their intel missions that are, no kidding, a critical part of what's happening in the Middle East and what could happen in the Pacific. So they want newer, bigger, better everything, and they're going to get those things over time, and that's how we're going to continue to contribute to the fight, but they're already doing it today. So for me, it's exciting. I was enlisted at the 181st. I flew at the 181st. Now I've spent the last 15 years at Fort Wayne, and I'm here today. So I got a little flavor for both. I still wear a 113th Fighter Squadron patch underneath my name tag from my days in Terre Haute. And I keep it near and dear because it's literally close to my heart. And I'm doing everything I can to make sure that those folks are ready, willing, able, and capable of getting after the job every day. And I love the acronyms. Yeah, I got an opportunity to go do some Army stuff in the last couple months.
Yeah.
And as I'm receiving all these briefs, I'm feverishly looking on my phone, scrambling for acronyms, but I think I got them. ICBT, whatever that's.
MBCT.
Yeah, it's all coming together. Yeah, Army stuff. It's awesome.
I went through that when I went to Air War College, and I was trying to figure out what all these Air Force acronyms and things were. So I've been there. Yeah, and thanks for representing us at AGAUS.
Happy to.
You got a lot going on in the Air Guard, just even beyond what we just talked about. You know, we can't finish today without talking about Chief Dixon and
yeah.
all that he has done.
It's exciting. Talk about a DSG. This is a guy that's been 30 plus years only as a DSG. He grew up as a weapons loader. That's a guy that, you know, builds and hangs the bombs that we were going to go take and drop on the bad guys. He did that for a long time while having a full-time gig at home, while taking care of Terry and the kids. He's never said no. We've asked him to do more and more. A lot of the things we've asked to do him in the past were usually done by full-timers. But he took it on as a part-time guy and never missed a beat. So we're going to have a tough time recovering from his loss. We're excited for him and what he's got planned and what he's going to do with his future. But we know that John Coughlin is another guy that has a lot of capabilities, also a weapons loader. We grew up in Terre Haute together. So when I was a new lieutenant, just figuring out what my job was and how to take off and land an F-16 and really employ that thing, he was on the line loading my jet with bombs. He came to Fort Wayne a little bit before I did. We reconvened there. Another guy that's only been a DSG. He brings a different perspective from Chief Dixon, a little different personality, but he's a guy we can trust, and we know he's going to do an outstanding job. And it helps that he's buddies with JB, so they get along well and have known each other for a while, and it's just going to help build the team strong. So,
well, every time I visit the 122nd, every time I visit the 181st, or I just walk down the hall at the headquarters, I'm always struck by the technical expertise and the professionalism of the Air National Guard.
Yeah.
So, I have no doubt that the Air National Guard in Indiana is in great hands, and I'm extremely proud to be in this position and have such great airmen within the Indiana National Guard.
Yeah.
With that, I leave the last word to you, Deuce, if you have anything.
No, just thanks for the opportunity. We're excited about what's next. We understand that there's going to be some strife. There's going to be some issues. We understand that the Guard is making a difference today. So when you look at the videos, when you see weapons impacts, when you see targeting pod footage, when you read stories in the papers or online about great things that are happening, a large part of that is contributions from the Air National Guard. So whether it's overseas, whether it's protecting the homeland, whether it's taking out the bad guys in the Middle East, the Guard's right in the middle of that. 181st is doing it today, and the 122nd's ready to roll. So we're going to keep getting after it. We're going to keep doing a good job, and we're going to keep supporting the men and women of the Indiana National Guard.
All right, well said. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you being
Thanks.
Here.
Cheers.
Cheers.
A lot of stations stepping on each other.